Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. I'm back. This is Bob Wright here, back from Morocco. Got in this morning. I'm here with Julian Wells. Julian?
Hello, Bob. It's great to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back. it's great to be back. Although there was a little struggle with saying goodbye, you know, it was kind of hard, you know, leaving that
wonderful environment.
Yeah. But it's also good to be back home. So
I wanted to talk with you about, you know, what sorts of things you wanted to chat about. But since I had a couple small updates and things I wanted to share, I figured we'd just get those out of the way. First off, in the second hour of the show, we'll be speaking with Thomas Hughes after our break. And I want to say around the last quarter of the show, we'll take questions. So if people have questions, they're calling in via the phone line. What's the number, Bob?
If you want to call in, it's 646-716-4598. Press 1 if you have a question. Otherwise, I'll just assume you're just listening.
So if everyone here, or those even not, we did a show last week where I spoke with Andrew Bartzis, with Chris helping me out, and we covered a lot of material, and I'm continuing to have ongoing discussions with him. And next week, during the summer solstice, is going to be basically a whole bunch of stuff going on down in Mount Shasta, and that's in Oregon. And he's invited me to come hang out with him. And I'll be going down there in the later half of the week. And we're going to have some discussions. I'm hoping to record more types of discussions like we had last week with him. You know, getting to the nitty-gritty of the kinds of questions people have about his material and how their own understanding of things fit into the scheme of things. And hopefully that I'll be able to continuously add little updates throughout the week. And we'll see how that goes. I will not be necessarily available live this next weekend. I'm not sure. We'll have to see what kind of internet connectivity we have. But, you know, the show's not canceled or anything. We'll do something. And one of the things that people have been bringing up to me was how much it seems that I'm sort of putting a lot of my weight behind Andrew Bartzis, and people are having concerns about my sort of looking up to him as a mentor or something like this. And people are can be honestly concerned about some of the data that he shares and the way that he shares it. And I figured I'd share a conversation I had with one of my friends on Facebook. I'm going to read it aloud. It'll be basically his concern that he's written to me and then my reply to him, because I think, it does sort of help clear a little bit of the air of what's going on. So I'll share this. I'm going to leave him anonymous for the moment. But he says, "Hi, Julian. Hope you're having a great Saturday so far. I really enjoyed the Cosmic Room on Skype and all the fun people are having together there. I do have a concern that I wanted to share with you privately, so here it goes. And he did give me permission to bring it public. I can't wait. I can't listen to Andrew B. anymore on your updates for or transitioning shows. I feel strongly he is spreading fear and unnecessary mind garbage under the veil of wanting to educate and help. I keep thinking of Heather and how she never really brings up negative energies and tries to get everyone to simply focus on being and doing from the knowledge of being eternal essence. This is about all a person needs to do to arm themselves from negative influences. If you know you are a piece of prime creator, start acting from that perspective and treat others as if they too are part of the prime creator. That should be enough. Talking about parasites, archons, energy grid control rooms, and on is just fostering fear, confusing and filling minds with junk that wasn't there until it's talked about. Well, I won't say any more, but I don't want to express my concern that you are now becoming part of the negative spread of energy disguised as helpfulness by focusing on these topics. How about just focusing on the wonderful, positive, creative, loving, and fantastic beings we are and all the other cosmic friends that are too? Thanks so much for considering these words. I felt it was time to say something after listening to a couple interviews with Andrew. I just have a bad feeling about this person's intentions. So I understand you can hear a lot of concerns, and I believe they're widespread, probably with lots of individuals who listen to me or, you know, are following the types of people that I've become involved with. And I'm going to read out my reply. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, John. I know very well what you're talking of. There are those that have freed themselves from the lower energy that do not serve. But I also speak to those who are here who have taken the task to stand in the muck and pull others out. There are people at many different depths of the muck helping others at many different levels. In order to get about in the muck, it helps to know the properties of it and to overcome it, be more efficient at bringing in light. There are light holders and there are light bringers, and both fit in the category of light workers. It helps to understand where each one of us is relative to each subject we choose to involve ourselves in. Note, you've probably heard the term, what resists persists, and what you put your attention toward makes it stronger. Indeed, these are fairly fundamental understandings. However, there is a bit more. When you place your focus on something long enough with the right attitude and state of mind, what begins to happen is that you start to really understand something to the point where you see its purpose from a broader view. When you understand something very well like this, it has less of a sway over your state of being. For instance, whenever something bothers me to the point that I become aware I am bothered, I go right in and work on figuring out why I feel what I'm feeling. Now, because I've gone through and studied what was really going on, I can now address similar things for others who have the same things bothering them. It's how wisdom is developed. When you can attain a space of neutrality towards a duality, you basically have attained an understanding of the duality and are no longer subject to its polar attractions unless you choose to focus on one side or the other. You will know you are focusing on one side or the other because you'll be able to feel it. Feeling is the data that tells you that you are in motion towards a particular space or a particular polarity. I shared the data that Andrew shared because we are all here standing in muck at different depths. We didn't create the muck. We sustained it per slow, deliberate programming and inattention to addressing our fears head on and coming to the sacred neutral with them. The saying goes, you can't help anyone until you've helped yourself. Well, this applies to being in the sacred neutral space before you can start to help another help himself. If you just want to offer light, then they become dependent on your energy to move forward. It is better to teach a man to fish than to be the world's only fisherman. What the purpose of Andrew's psychic defense was meant for us was to neutralize the background programming influence he and I understand from a neutral point. I know because others don't understand as we do, they will have to choose a point of duality with regards to how they take it. But he and I wish to convey our stance that one can adopt neutrality towards something and not attract a polarity at all. Also, I know his data can appear far-fetched, but the point is not that you must swallow it whole. The data isn't meant for everyone equally. Take what functions for your development as you see fit and put aside the rest. We're all attracted to different types of data and not equally. Don't feel like you need to process it all, but look for the nuggets and make use of those. Know that I love you no matter what you choose for yourself and your opinion. Your opinions matter to all that are in similar place in the muck as you. And it's clear that you're becoming more valuable to those around you. You may not understand Andrew, but know that although you are not comfortable placing your faith in him, your trajectories are the same. So take care. Do as you've been doing. Peace. That was a bit long, but I'm hoping that people can gain a little bit of where I stand from how I've shared just now. I did do a recording with Chris and Andrew a couple days ago, and I believe it's been put up on the IUV site as one of my updates with regards to understanding psychic attacks, because Andrew particularly is looking at the 21st coming up here as a moment where a lot like December 21st of last year was a moment. There's going to be sort of the cabal coming out to start to try and develop drama and all sorts of nastiness that we really are not wanting to be get caught up in. So that's why that recording went out so promptly. But enough of that. I was really, really excited to hear that you're back now, and I loved hearing what you shared on the Collective Imagination last week, and I'd really like to take that discussion further if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
So maybe you can go through, you know, your journey physically and what it was like from here to there and there back.
Well, it kind of goes into what you were describing, you know, in your response there.
Really?
Because, well, everybody's senses are being heightened right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are being exposed for who they are. And who they are is just who they are, or who they're choosing to be in that moment. And you don't, you know, like, I'm just looking at it as data. You either resonate with it or you don't. But it's not negative or positive. It's just something you resonate with or not, you know, but you see it for what it is. And you don't have to pay any energy into something you don't resonate with.
That's right. You know? You can just see it and be at a form of disassociation with it, and that offers you a greater flexibility with how to handle it, because
right.
You're not caught up one way or the other.
But what I would say is, your greatest potential, and I didn't get a chance to listen to your show, sorry Julian.
Well, I understand, yeah. Your internet wasn't so hot, and you're clearly very busy out there.
Well, yeah, and yeah, I just got in, and I'm trying to catch up on some sleep. But once you step in to your own place of godhood, when you know how infinitely powerful you are, and you step into that space, there is a change that happens to you, because that is the ultimate protection. It is what everyone wants to distract you from looking at, and I'm going to tell you that
yes.
A lot of these things, you know, that, you know, are being spoken about, and people, yeah, they're fun things to talk about, but in a sense, they can be distractions.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing that you can do right now, and this was one of the things I mentioned on the show, this whole journey was a journey in releasing limitation, in releasing the things and the constraints. Each and every one of us on this, that were there in Morocco, were challenged in fundamental ways that all of us had to face and had to realize. Challenges with relationships, challenges with, you know, our own physical limitations, challenges with perceived concept and ideas that limit your full potential. And by the end of the journey, all of that illusion of limitation was completely gone. And we watched miracles happen, and we understood how powerful beings we are, what we can really do when you release that idea that you're vulnerable. It is the idea that you are vulnerable that causes you fear, because it is only when you open your heart that you can truly make that connection with yourself. And only when you open your heart, and it's when you do that, that you perceive yourself as being vulnerable. And this is one of the things that transparency is going to basically do for everyone. It is okay to be transparent and to be vulnerable, because only in that state can you really make that connection. And once you do that, you realize that you are invulnerable.
That's a really good... I love talking about that. I know that in my circumstance, I had to start looking at what it would be to start sharing who I am to basically the public. And I had to figure out, you know, what was I supposed to do with regards to how I appeared to the public? Did I have to do something special? Did I have to prepare my speeches, so to speak? Did I have to, you know, don a personality? And in the end, it was like, no, I'm going to be only as effective as how true I am able to be to myself.
It that is so key. Being true to yourself. It's, you know, we're given, and by and large, you know, as we come in through this experience of modern society, we're basically sold images, characterizations of who and what you should be.
Like templates.
Yes, very much like templates. And we adopt these templates, and what they do is they literally filter out the energy that you have access to. These templates and whatever you want to call them, archonic designs, whatever, they're just ideas. And you could accept the idea or not. You know, ideas only become dangerous when you make them so. And you are the one that has the ability to do that. The only one that has the ability to do that. You know, and it's crazy, you know, as I'm starting to open up and understand how all of this really fits together and how it works, you know, because I was exposed to situations and energies that basically, like blasting your sinuses out.
Okay, that actually sounds uncomfortable.
In a sense, it was.
Okay.
You know, We went through physical changes, you know. One of the first things that I noticed, you know, as I got to the group, was everybody's eyes were different shaped, you know, and I could see clearly what was behind the person. And it was a menagerie of the whole crew. Among them, bird-like people, cat-like people, reptilian-like people. Okay?
That's a bit creepy.
But they're all us. So, you know, this whole idea, this idea of aliens suddenly became so distasteful. Because they are us. We are they. And I saw it very clearly. I mean, physically, you can see these things. You know, I guess because I was operating at such a higher level that it was very, very clear. Like, I was like, how can people not see this? I was looking around, and I was looking at Lisa, and I'm looking at every... Now, I was the new one there.
Okay, yeah, you showed up like a week later or about.
Yeah, so they had already been there, you know, for a while, and I'm looking at everybody. Like, my face was darting from face to face, you know, eye to eye, and I'm like, okay, nobody's saying anything. Am I going to, like, be the one... Maybe they've already covered this before. Am I the only one that's seeing this, like... And nobody was saying anything, so I was having a telepathic conversation with Heather.
Okay.
And, you know, she was like, Bob, if it's swung into focus, it's relevant.
All right.
And so I says, is anybody noticing everybody's eyes? Is everybody noticing these images that I'm seeing? And they're like, what are you seeing? And I started telling her. And the more I started to release that idea, you know, of higher intelligence, because there really is only one quote unquote intelligence consciousness.
Yeah.
And you're all connected to it. There is something very, very liberating when you are allowed to be yourself. Anyone who has grown up gay and has come out of the closet knows what I am talking about. When you are allowed to just be yourself, regardless of how different it may be, without ridicule, without any sort of anxiety, because all of those things are just perceptions that you have of yourself. They're templates that you have adopted of yourself, that it is not okay to be like this. It is not okay to be a smoker or carnivorous, or it's not okay to be or do any of those certain things. It's okay.
It really is.
It's okay. You know, it doesn't... As long as you are transparent and honest, you know, everyone's going to be, and very, very soon, everybody's going to be able to see, because this is getting switched and turned on in everyone, that you really can't harm anyone. In a sense,
by being yourself.
In a sense, you can, but once you become, people are afraid of themselves. Let me put it that way: they're afraid that maybe there's some sort of darkness within, and that they're going to hurt another by just being themselves, or that they are going to be hurt just by being themselves. And when you understand how perfect you are, as you are, and how necessary you are to be as you are, then no ridicule, no words, no actions could ever abrogate, subjugate, hurt, harm, or in any way perceive damage you. because you become what you are, which is infinite.
Bob, may I ask you a question? I know it's not time for me yet, but I wanted to ask you a question on this.
Yes, please.
Would it be fair to say what you're describing is that most people are afraid of quote-unquote rejection?
Yes.
Okay.
That's really pinnacle, isn't it?
Seems to be.
And this is another thing I've discovered in working with energy, and everyone wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to feel that they have a place. But you understand, just like puzzle pieces, if every puzzle piece was the exact same shape, you would not have a puzzle, and it would never come together.
Good point.
All the
Very
pieces
good point.
Have to be different, and they need to be different so that they can connect with each other in specific ways. And it's that interaction, that knowledge, that understanding that you have a place, that you have an absolute necessary place in the puzzle, and that the picture would never be complete without you. And in order for you to be in that place, you have to be your original shape, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And let go of all the pretenses. Let go of all the ideas of diminishment in any way, because who you are is amazing. You know, it's
and all of us are equally amazing.
Equally.
No one, you know, just because there's differences, that just reflects points of view, and points of view are not necessarily caustic to each other.
Right. And you know, when I started to look, and Heather also often mentions about the ability to see the eternal essence, and that's all you can see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's basically happened to me. You know, I look at what everyone's doing, and I can see clearly, you know, what they're trying to do or perceive that they're trying to do, and that's all well and good, just the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's their choice. Okay? And I see the contrast, I understand it. And I understand their role.
I have another question for you, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be fair to say that you and I have a somewhat unfair advantage in this, because we are disabled, which has given us plenty of time to go within?
Well, yeah, that perceived disadvantage did become an advantage, didn't it?
It did.
A little
it
bit
really
like a slingshot capability.
Yes.
Well, we had to look for other things that we could do, because obviously we couldn't function like everybody else does in the world. So we
Now, Tom, I wasn't aware you were disabled. Are you disabled like Bob is?
We have the same chair.
Oh, you both have wheels. Okay.
I don't have to. I can walk around and stuff, but mm-hmm. if I go more than 100 yards, my leg starts shaking. That's why I don't go in the woods anymore.
Oh,
but it's,
okay.
It's because nobody would hire me, because I am disabled, because I have multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, I've been on this diet, Dr. Wall's diet, for a week now, and oh my God, the changes that are going on in this body is tumultuous, to say the least. But I'm going to shut up now, because I just wanted to ask Bob a question.
Well, thanks.
Go right
Thank
ahead,
you.
Tommy.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I already asked you the question, but
okay.
About our disadvantage, we're not quote unquote normal, like everybody else thinks they are. And, you know, I said it last year. You might agree with this, and you might not. When I was on a Wolf Spirit radio show that I used to host, we had Olivia Valencia as a guest, and I said to her, I said to the host of the show that we were on together, I said, the biggest the biggest challenge that we're up against right now is the programming that is in everybody's head.
And it's literally all in your head.
Yeah.
It's all in your head.
How many ways can we describe the neutrality, the zero point, the balance? You know, when you look at a chess game, what all is involved in the chess game? Well, obviously the black pieces and the white pieces there. But guess what? The chessboard's part of the game too, because without it, you can't have a game. And guess who's neutral? Mm. The chessboard doesn't care who wins. It's just there to provide a place to play the game. That's it. So he gets to see all the moves that all the pieces can make.
And it becomes you. When you're in that space, you have the potential to play the game in any way you want, right? And and do so and have fun, because any experience that you wish to have, right? As long as your thought, your will, and your action are all in line, it doesn't matter what perceived obstacle that you have. If you put those three in line, it must become real. OPPT was an experiment in that, where someone just put out an intent, right? A very connected soul put out an intent, and then she put out her words behind that intent, and then she followed it with action. But her intent included not just the whole world change, but she included the entire universe in her intent. And guess what? The entire universe heard it, responded, and changed. And that is true with every single one of you, whether you do it consciously or unconsciously. And I don't know, you know, how more I can emphasize, it doesn't matter what's going on outside of you. It just doesn't matter. Because all that is just reflections of things that are happening on inside. That's what's important. That is what is the most important thing that you can focus on. I mean, you could focus on the government. You could focus, I mean, don't even focus on us. Because all we're going to do and all that we're trying to do in all of these shows is to hold up a mirror so you can see yourself. To reflect what you are, what you truly are, to help you become aware of your blessed, perfect imperfections. And they're all perfect.
It's fine.
It is. I think...
I think he's got a phone call.
Yeah, I think... Yeah.
she couldn't eat very much of it.
Hey, Thomas, if you want to mute out.
Because her body was not very hungry at the time.
I'm just going to...
Okay.
He'll pop back in when he's done. But it is a very, I guess what happened to me in the desert was a very profound reawakening, which are always real fun.
Well, did you have any idea that that was coming? I mean, you had an inkling of an idea that something great was going to happen. You just didn't know. You were the source of it.
Yeah, I did have an idea. I didn't know how. At a certain point, I think all of us on the crew knew. At a certain point, we pretty much did know. We didn't know what we were looking for or how we were going to find it, and but it was just the coming together, and oh.
You could probably see it in everyone else's experience too, that they were elevating themselves.
Yes.
Energetically and expanding a bit.
Everybody came with their own specific perceived problems, and every one of us had the solution for each other. And we allowed
like really
ourselves,
puzzle-like.
Yes. We allowed ourselves to see ourselves in each other and to heal each other. Just by loving each other.
That's ironic because typically we think we are supporting each other day by day in our relationships. But there's so much background programming of how it needs to happen that it ends up becoming extremely polarized and dualistic and, you know, like drama is. It ends up becoming drama rather than necessarily fruitful or rapid realizations.
Right. I told you, you know, earlier before on the show, Julian, that I was going to reach certain points where I'm not gonna have any words. And the level of unconditional love.
It's pure energy.
There are no words. And understanding, experiencing it, feeling it, and then knowing that's what you are. But, you know, that's more than just an energy boost. That's it's a rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell what I saw in the gang. I explained it to you a little bit before the show, but it's easier to see auras in individuals who have a lot of energy flowing and have a lot of energy residue that gets translated as light. And so those who have a fine attunement to auric developments for their eyes can see the energy radiate. Even people with common eyes can see the energy radiate off of the aura of saints, and those have been depicted by like these auras behind their heads and stuff. But as I put my awareness towards the different individuals in the group that went, I could see this extreme abundance auric pattern that literally, I basically saw you all as like fireflies relative to what you were before. It was almost like there aren't really words for that, but everyone basically gained an understanding of their own abundance that they have access to per, you know, the alignment that we can all sort of take, it seems you explained, towards looking at, you know, yourself as being, you know, the perfect person in the right place at the right time.
It's so, you just set your intention and then go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about how it's going to get done. Go forward. Don't wait. Go forward and pay attention. get excited. Forget about, you know, about all the plans and follow the energy. Follow your excitement.
Excitement, you know, is the most purest form of knowing you're on your path.
Right. When you hear something, after you set your intent and after you've moved on your intent, right, pay attention, right, to what excites you and go there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find something else that excites you even more and follow it. And at the end, you will reach your destination, your intention. And you'll discover it by accident on purpose. And it will be surprising and quite often something better than you ever imagined, because your excitement built up along the way. And as your mm-hmm. excitement built up along the way, so did the manifestation.
Mm.
And so finally when you reach it, it's more than you had ever imagined was possible, because you weren't thinking about what was probable.
Now, some people may say that they have tried to do this in the past, but take note of all the intricacies that stand in your way. Those are the limits imposed not by yourself. It's those that you accept as limitations. The limitations, for the most part, were not yours before you were born. When you were born, you came in without limitations, and you adopted them as you grew, per the programming, per the setup of what this environment was being used for. And unfortunately, I think we've all sort of gathered that is a harvesting mechanism. Just even if they only take 5% of our happiness, where we're excited, and we're going, and energy is flowing, as long as they can take 5% of that, or 10% of that, well, then they don't even have to be, those that are harvesting it don't have to generate their own energy. They can be curmudgeons and continue to survive.
Another
the parasite function.
Pay close attention to your internal dialogue. What it is that you're saying to yourself. You know, pay close attention to the thoughts that are going through your head, especially the ones that disturb you. What are you saying? And then look at that thought and ask yourself, is this limiting or is this infinite? And if it's limiting or if it's infinite, I mean, if it's limiting and it's not infinite, ask yourself, is this something that I choose to hold on to? Or is this an idea that I can just let go of?
Mm-hmm.
And when you let go of that idea, then all of a sudden, there's this expansion. And it almost happens immediately. Just like is if you were in a really, really shit job that you hated going to every day, right? And an opportunity came for a new job and you decided, I'm leaving this place. And as soon as you make that decision, you feel as though a weight lifts off your chest. It's instant. The expansion. And you keep doing that, you keep all these ideas and you just let them go. You know, if it's not true, you are limitless in your potential. There is nothing you can't do. I mean, look at the universe as you see it right now. Right? You created it all. because you're experiencing it. It's your experience. Start taking responsibility. It is your experience. It doesn't belong to anyone else. No one else can change it. No one else is responsible for it. No one else is to blame for it. It is all in your head. Please understand what I'm saying. It's all in your head. Regardless of how much pain or perceived pain you may currently be in. And I'm not trying to belittle anybody for creating that experience, because all of those experiences are extremely relevant. And it may be that you're having it because you need it. Because otherwise, if you weren't getting something out of it, you'd create something different.
People wonder why experiences show up in their experience, actually. And, you know, crummy experiences too. And,
well, you know, even my experience, right? I could have complained about it, right? But I knew that there must be a purpose for it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have created it. Now, let's just figure out what the purpose is. Now that I understand what the purpose was, and it's fulfilled its function, it no longer serves me. And because I've made that decision, that's why I'm walking. And it really is that simple. With any illness, I don't care what you have. I don't even care if you have missing parts. You can rebuild it. When you know that you can, it will be done. And you may not know how, right? You may not know how, right? But let's start that journey.
It's a journey, actually.
It's a journey. And you've got to start the journey. First, you have to decide that that's the journey you want to take.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And once you decide that that's the journey you want to take, right, you prepare yourself, and at some point, just like in The Hobbit, you take the first step out of your door, and that would be your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You take the first step out, and guess what? You're on your journey. And you already know what the end is because you've planned it. You may not know how to get there, but you're on your way. And it's at that point where you really start getting excited.
Well, life is really about the journeys.
It's about the journey.
It's not about sitting in a room just limited.
And you know what? Everybody's on one. Everybody's on one.
Unavoidable.
And you know what? We all fit in each other's stories perfectly, like a puzzle.
Even the guy who smashes you in the face.
Yep. Even that guy.
Gosh.
You know, what happened to me in the desert? That's a really good question. I was on a journey. And I'm on a new one now because it's led me to things and places and discoveries that I hadn't even imagined. And so now I started a new journey.
Mm-hmm.
And and then all of a sudden you start to realize I'm really living. I'm enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no obstacles. It's just, you know, places to go, people to see, things to do.
It's like the polar opposite from having your body expire or committing suicide, basically. Because mm-hmm. that's the opposite of living.
Yep. And, you know, the whole while, I mean, a lot of work was done with the IUV exchange. A lot of talk was done about Project 13. But I'll tell you what, it almost became background noise, side issues. Because we were having so much fun doing everything energetically. It just became so much fun that those other tools just, okay, yes, they're there and they're being worked on, but...
And they're exciting.
I'm just telling you, they're only going to show you that you are the ultimate tool.
It's just another pivot point to the same journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You are the ultimate tool. And these tools will help you discover that you are the ultimate tool and allow you to be that ultimate tool. And so, then you won't need those other tools.
So, Bob, can I call you a tool?
You can call me a tool. Yes. I am a universal tool.
Well, say it that way. Doesn't sound as teasing as I made it out to be.
Wait, I could do better. I could do better.
Okay.
There was we saw plenty of commercials about Troy Built. Now we've got Bob Built.
Bob Built.
Yes. Bob Built by Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
But it's great fun, guys, and I implore everyone to start a journey today. Make an intent and start a journey. You know, whatever that journey may be, whatever it is that you choose to experience, because I guarantee there's a way for it to happen. You got to take the first step. And you may not even know what that is, but I'll probably say it's probably in the direction of what you're most afraid of.
Not necessarily journey towards what makes you afraid.
But that will direct you to where you need to go. Because it's you're going to find that whatever fear it is that you have is caused by some sort of limitation that you've set.
So go about the dismantling of the barrier.
Yep.
And then you'll just simply be more yourself once you get through that.
Yep.
I figured people might choose something like, you know, I want 3 wishes, genie-like. I want a lot of money. I want, you know, be famous. I want a new car. But, you know, what makes people want to wish those things?
Well, you know, really. Seriously, what do you want a new car for? Well, so that I
right.
can get girls. And, you know, or so that I can impress others. Ultimately, mm-hmm. it's going to come down to people, you know,
yeah.
because all the things that you're doing, what are you doing for if you're not, if, you know, I mean, yes, it's nice to have comfortable surroundings, nice to have nice clothes and nice things, mm-hmm. right? But if you're by yourself, right?
In the end, you're gonna still have a journey looking for other people to join
right,
you.
That all of those nice things are nice things, but without anyone to share them with, you know. And then after you've done playing with your nice things, then you start making different choices, and that include people. And then you know you're going to. Your choices will become more evolved and more more you. Mm-hmm. And you'll discover that, you know, it feels good when everyone feels good. You know, you naturally want to help increase the whole. You want everyone to have access. You know, when you find a really good restaurant and you enjoy, you want everyone to know, have you tried this place? You tell people. You mm-hmm. want them to experience, you know, that enrichment of cuisine yeah. that you've discovered. You know,
I'm like that when I go to like a music concert. I'm like, you have got to go check this out, you know.
Right. And it comes full circle. Like what I was talking about before. Everyone wants to be accepted. Everything wants to feel that way. You know? Mm-hmm. I was doing a telekinesis class while I was in Morocco, and I was teaching, you know, some of these kids how to move a bottle, an empty bottle, you know, and also Dee's husband, he was also doing it. And I told him, I says, first off, you can't force the bottle to move. How do you feel if I were to yell at you, go make me a sandwich right now? You throw your feeling, go make it yourself. I said, that's what you're doing to the bottle. Move! I said, you know, it just wants to... When you understand that it's all energy, it's all consciousness, you treat it as such, right? Would you like to come play with me? You know? Now you're inviting it, right? Mm. And you're not commanding it. It's a willing request.
It's an invitation.
An invitation. Right? You can be of use to me. Oh, really? How can I help?
Mm.
And everything wants to help. Everything wants to feel like they're needed, like they're that they have a function, that they have a role. And when you do, they get excited. And you give them that opportunity, they get excited. They want
and they thrive. It's actually one of the wonderful relationships people can easily have with their garden.
Yes.
Especially because it's very, very alive, particularly consciously.
And once I got them, you know, to understand that, and they started playing, everybody was moving bottles around the table.
Hmm.
And it's like that, you know, that's what OPPT was, like I said. It was an invitation. You could be a part. We can do this. Yes, this is where we're going.
It wasn't and an order.
We've set that intention that the whole world would be free, and we followed the energy, and we're on that journey. And guess what? It's done. It's already done. We're just on the journey there because we set the intention and we haven't lost focus, and we won't. It's already done. We're just on the way, and this is the journey, and we're all on it because we included everyone. We are the wave. We're the wave of consciousness we've been waiting for. We are it. We're creating it. All of us.
Every individual.
Yep. And when you understand, when you really, really, really understand that it's you that's doing it, you are waking up. You are waking up the whole world. You know, it's nothing outside of you. It's not Venus in conjunction with Mars. Venus is in conjunction with Mars because you're in line with yourself. It's not the solar flares. The solar flares are happening because you are happening. You are the show. You. It's all in your head.
That reminds me, in Michael's course, and you go through some cloud bursting exercises, it becomes really clear to you after the first couple times you do this that actually all weather is almost entirely based upon the human state of mind around us. Actual weather is a result of those in those environments that are experiencing it and inviting it. It's a reflective attribute of us. And that was a really big aha thing for me.
I'm going to give you a solution, everybody. Everybody, I've heard so many people talking about, why are we still seeing chemtrails? You want to know how to clear up chemtrails? Stop seeing them as a problem. They're gone.
I think I've only ever seen one in my whole life. I almost don't believe in them.
Yeah.
Except for all the people pictures they put up. I'm like, that's got to be Photoshop. I don't believe in them. It's a conspiracy that there's chemtrails even. But, I'm not complaining.
Literally transmute anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us had to face our own limitations, you know, and I'll give you an example. On the trip, we almost had the same traditional meal every different tribe and every different group that we came across. And unfortunately, certain ones of our group were had certain limitations nutritionally, allergies, you know, certain additives that they were sensitive to, but they had to eat. So that perceived limitation was had to be challenged. You know, can you transmute this or not? And they did. Yeah. You know, it's because it really is all in your head. Now, I'm not going to tell everybody, go ahead, open up, you know, do a parlor trick and drink some poison, and you can transmute it. But you could, if you were in that space, and if you could, right? But as long as you're calling it poison, I don't think it's going to work. Do you understand what I just said?
Yeah.
As long as you're calling it poison, it's not going
to
work.
But note that it comes with its own pattern to begin with, but you can invite it to be another pattern.
Right.
Did I ever tell publicly my story with the Jack Daniels that I had? I can't remember. Have you heard that story?
No. But yes, I did. And that's how you turn water into wine, by the way. Go ahead. Tell that story.
It was a little while back. I was spending an evening with my brothers, online, and I had a glass of Jack Daniels and Coke in one glass. In another glass, I had water. I just keep water at my desk, and this is where we were at the computer together. And Jack Daniels and Coke is by far my absolute favorite drink. I love it. I adore it. I get high by drinking it. I have a high tolerance to alcohol, so it's not the alcohol that's getting me high. I'm getting high because of the flavor and nuance. I've created this love, that I've become in love with it, but I so love it. And I would just cradle the glass in my hands, and I would just be melting by drinking it. It's absolutely wonderful. Some people are like this with chocolate. Anyhow, finished the glass, and I didn't go put it back in the kitchen. In fact, it sat right next to my water glass. I tend to leave water out. And the next morning, I came in and had a sip of my water, and it tastes like Jack Daniels. No shit. It was like not 100% Jack Daniels. It had a tint, like about 10 or 15%, a little bit like if you've ever tasted maple syrup sap before it's boiled down, it tastes like maple. The actual maple syrup. So it was as if I had taken maybe water and swished it around inside some leftover Jack Daniels. And I was thinking about it, how the hell did this happen? And I would taste it again, I'd taste it again. No, I know exactly what Jack Daniels tastes like. It is my most favorite. I adore it. I know every nuance within that flavor. And it it actually was in the water that had no taint or influence touching it. But I found out later that the water knew my feeling for the Jack Daniels. The water itself decided to become like the Jack Daniels so that I would adore it the same way. And I nearly lost it. I did cry when I actually discovered that. But the water transmuted itself to that.
And that is how you turn water into wine. Really?
I didn't tell it to do it. I didn't.
It's done out of love. It's done out of love. You invite it. You let it know this is how you can help me. You know? And then give whatever energy it needs to fulfill its job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? By loving it. By loving it for it. You know? Oh, you know how gracious I am for you doing this. You know, and that act, you know, that giving transmutes anything. It is what everything is made of. This is manipulating things at an energetic level, at the love level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, Bob, let's go to break for a couple minutes. You got a song that we can put up?
Yes. We'll be back. Wait, hold on. Let me find it first. Just a couple minutes.
Great.
No hard distinctions between what is real and what is unreal, nor between what is true and what is false. As a citizen, I must ask, what is true? What is false? A thing is not necessarily either true or false. It can be both true and false. Truth in drama is forever elusive. You never quite find it, but the search for it is compulsive. The search is clearly what drives the endeavor. The search is your task. More often than not, you stumble upon the truth in the dark, colliding with it, or just glimpsing an image or a shape which seems to correspond to the truth, often without realizing that you've done so. But the real truth is that there never is any such thing as one truth to be found. There are many. These truths challenge each other, recoil from each other, reflect each other, ignore each other, tease each other, are blind to each other. Sometimes you feel you have the truth of a moment in your hand, then it slips through your fingers and is lost.
Oops, I'm muted. I'm sitting here. Yes, we're back. I gotta remember to push that button.
That was great.
Yeah, a little short. That was also by Open Our Eyes, which is the same group that did the intro for our show.
Sometime we should take our break with the full song.
Yeah.
Hear a bit more of it, because he's really good lyrically.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, he's really, really profound lyrics. Definitely an awake individual.
Hmm. Well, Thomas, are you there?
No, I left.
Oh,
I left.
I really wanted to have you on. We've had some conversations in the past, just between you and I, and then last week, or was it the week before? I think it was last week where we got to talk together on either the One People or the Collective Imagination. I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
But, yeah, time is just flying. And you've shared so much with me with regards to not just your discussions on the Sasquatch, but actually I really appreciate your perspective. It's very whole-minded from my point of view. And I feel it's partially to do with your empathy with the Sasquatch, since they have a similar approach to things, I'm getting. Like they really play into the essence of things.
That would be accurate. One of the things the Sasquatch people have said to myself and some other people quite a bit is, get out of your head and into your heart. And I think that statement has more meaning now than it did back in 2008 when I was first starting this.
Oh, is that when you first had an experience?
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
Going back 5 years ago.
There's been a bit of a journey since then.
It has. I wanted to share a link with the both of you. Maybe you could pass it on to your chat room. That is the doctor whose diet I'm on. I've been on it for a week now, and I'm noticing plenty of changes in this body that I'm living in. And so she cured herself of MS with food alone. And she said, she stresses in the video, we all have a choice. We all have a choice. We can choose to eat for nutrition, or we can choose to eat for flavor. Because they've taught us how to eat for taste or flavor for a long time now. And we're not getting very much nutrition from the foods that we buy at the grocery store.
That's a good point. That's a really, really important point, I think.
She said that eating the foods that cured her MS is more expensive, yes, and it costs money, but you can spend the money now on making sure you're healthy, or you can spend that same money as you get older with doctor's visits and hospital stays and all sorts of other stuff.
Would you say that you had a bad diet then before?
I had the same kind of diet that everybody else is on, basically. I mean, I ate McDonald's, I ate fast food.
All you ate.
Of course not.
No.
But I was not getting enough of the other stuff. You know, the diet that Inuits and Africans eat has 2 to 10 times the specifics for daily allowance that the American Diabetes Association, American Health Institute, the Food Triangle, and all that's outlined in that video that I provided you the link for. So please give that, because I felt someone asking, what diet are you on? Well, there's the diet I'm on.
And Bob, are you in the chat room? Can you put that up? I did not open the chat room, but I think I should. Bring it up.
I'll just copy the link into the chat.
Okay.
So
fundamentally, you were saying that the Inuit and whatnot, they exceeded the dietary minimums that these institutes had established.
Yes, because
they're just falling short in what you actually should be getting in terms of what the numbers are supposed to be.
Well, they are. Obviously, in United States and Canada, America, North America in particular, throughout the world, has the lowest nutritional value of diet of any place else in the world. Every other place in the world has better dietary needs met for the body that they're in than we do. And she outlines all that with graphs and schematics and documentation, and it's a really good video, so if you have time to watch it, that's well worth
for sure
10 minutes of your life.
Well, I don't think any of us here listening to this are in the illusion that diet isn't important. So many people seem to be trapped by what they feel is, you know, what they deserve to have. You know, like say someone loves ice cream, for instance, or loves pizza. Why can't they just eat pizza for the rest of their life? You know, pepperoni pizza or just ice cream. It makes people wonder, why can't they? Especially after what we've been talking about earlier in the show with Bob here.
Oh, yes.
So one of the things that I discovered working with Michael Monk's lessons and whatnot was actually how to transmute things. Transmute your food and basically invite it not to harm you. That's probably easier than inviting nutritional content to come into presence. But, you know, your digestive system is used to eliminating what it doesn't want. So,
the process that I do, or my own method for that, is I talk to the planet, because all the food we eat comes from the planet, whether it be meat or vegetation. And so what I do is I simply ask the planet to restore the food back to the way it was when it came from her. And that neutralizes everything that they've added to or done to the food. And I've also stated the intention that whatever I take in, if it does not benefit the body, then it goes out through the waste system. The waste system is designed to take those kind of things out.
I've done that. I learned from, well, basically people who pray over their food, that's kind of the part of the purpose, isn't it?
Yes. You know, and somebody has a really twisted sense of humor, because for the last month I've been dealing with what's called a venous ulcer. It's an ulcer on my ankle. Venus is spelled like a vein or an artery. I don't know why they don't say venous, but they say venous. So basically a vein exploded my ankle, and it made an ulcerated spot. And so I've had rotting flesh on my ankle, and that's clearing up because I've completely changed my diet. I'm eating kale now, and that's not easy, but hey. I've eaten some stuff that wasn't easy to eat before, so I'm getting used to that again. And I'm eating fish, and is my main meat that I take in now is fish.
It's plenty of protein in it, yeah.
That and organ meat, like liver. I do like liver. I've always liked liver, so.
Well, I don't think many people share that with you, but that's fine for you.
That's fine. And she outlines everything in the video that benefits the body. And she calls her speech that she gives at these conferences, Minding Your Mitochondria, which is very interesting because the mitochondrial DNA comes from your mother and the nuclear DNA comes from your father. So it's interesting. She was very, very emphatic about outlining how many reactions go on with different foods we take in with our mitochondrial DNA, and even science is not aware of all the different reactions and chemicals that we produce right in the body with our mitochondrial DNA. So our own body is converting this stuff and using it where it needs it to, and it's producing things that even science can't keep up with.
Well, I'm losing a lot of faith with science these days anyways.
I look more towards science fiction writers like Arthur C. Clarke. One of his famous quotes is, magic is simply science we don't know how to explain yet.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's excellent. I'm gonna steal that and use that.
That's all you want. Steal it from Arthur C. Clarke.
Okay.
It's very true, though.
Yes, it is.
We are very, very much so capable of magic.
Now, do the Sasquatch do things that we might consider magic, do you think?
Oh, they make use of energies that they understand very well. That's why they can go to different places on the planet without using an airplane, because they know how to open and use portals that are still right here on this planet.
You're kidding me.
No,
I'm not. They know how to teleport, like, stuff?
Yeah, site to site, yeah.
Awesome.
You know, when the female I interact with, when she was giving birth to her first child in the body she's in now, she went home to the Northwest Territory in Canada. And so I had to see, had to ask her and let her show me how she got there. She went to a place here in Texas where a portal was at. They accessed it. They ended up in a place in British Columbia, Canada, and they walked the rest of the way to the Northwest Territory.
Outstanding. So, now, if you were to walk to that place, would it just work for you, or would there be some kind of ritual you'd have to do?
Well, you can call it a ritual if you'd like to, but it's really your intention and your thoughts and the way you access it.
But it was particular to that space.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you don't have the knowledge to make access,
right,
or use the portal, then it just looks like anything else you run across in life. It doesn't exist because you don't know it's there. The Navajo, Hopi, and Zuni Indians know how to use these energies because that's how they go down to the Hollow Earth. And exchange salt, which is a rarity in Hollow Earth, for precious gemstones, which they use in their jewelry. And they've got a lot of precious gemstones out there in the Hopi, Navajo, and Zuni reservations over there in Arizona and New Mexico.
This is physical moving from place to place. There is no bilocating, as some people might suggest, that you're in two places at once. You're actually transitioning in physical space.
Yeah, site to site. And that's, you know.
I wonder if the secret government know about this sort of thing.
Of course they do.
Oh, okay, fine. Of course they do. Valuable information to them, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. They know all about this kind of stuff.
Damn it, I want access. I want it now.
In fact, that's one of the reasons Eastern Europe and Russia became so jaded with this country or this side of the world, because during the Operation Iraqi Freedom, they were able to find and access the tunnels 30 miles northwest of Baghdad that come out underneath the Sphinx in Romania.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a tunnel system and an underground that goes all the way to the Sphinx in Romania, and most people don't know that there is a Sphinx in Romania, but you could just put Sphinx Romania in Google and you'll see pictures of it. It's there.
Now, that's not a portal, though. That's a tunnel.
It's a tunnel system.
Okay.
But there
portal seems to be crossing vast distances without doing a lot of walking.
Yeah, you'd be accessing an Einstein-Rosen bridge or a wormhole, so to speak.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's what you'd be accessing. That's basically what a portal is. And so the hairy folks know how to access those things.
Now, who wants to meet them? I do. Immediately, I think there's, you know, people who are probably new to this like I am and are wondering, you know, why not? You know, if this is real deal, why not go after trying to explore these truths that are out there?
Well,
you know,
I'm all for it if people want to do it.
That's just having the conversation about the possibility, introducing it into, you know, our regular conversation, you have no idea how much that helps relax the energy to make that possible for everyone listening.
Like quantumly?
Yes.
We don't even have to call it. We don't even have to call it quantumly. We can just call it consciously.
Consciously, yeah.
Yeah, consciously because, or quantumly.
You know, I mean, it's like the sun. The sun is a stargate. It's a star, obviously, and it's a
gate.
I've
heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. So I don't know how it works. I mean, nobody would want to fly the ship up to it because they'd melt.
Back in the days when I was doing my own Blog Talk Radio show, and we're talking 3 years ago or more, there was a guy that used to show up on Blog Talk Radio shows quite a bit. His name is Dimitri. He lives out in California, and him and I were talking on the phone one day, and we both focused on the sun together. And where we ended up, consciously, was rather amazing. It was tripping him out more than it was me, but we accessed that stargate, and we were able to see things and experience things. And the beings that saw us or realized that we were there, they were just... They recognized us, acknowledged us, and went about their business. We didn't try to interfere with them, and they certainly didn't try to interfere with us. So
you got to use it as a window.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, that's not just what sun gazing is about, I'm thinking.
No, I was sitting right here in this chair, or a chair like this one, when I on the phone with somebody. I wasn't looking at the sun. I focused my intention on the sun and accessed the gateway that the sun is. You can access stargates anywhere in the cosmos. You know, 10 galaxies away, you can access the stargate over there and see how life is expressing itself over there.
I'm wondering, we must... I feel when we dream, we do a lot of traveling. But what you're speaking to is when you're awake. You're not doing like falling asleep or lucid dreaming. This is more conscious. Is that right?
Yeah, I was on the phone with somebody sitting in a chair just like us in front of this desk.
That's excellent.
You know, as part Indian, I've had to look up that part of my ancestry for this skin suit that I'm in. And us Indians, we always called the world two worlds, the waking world and the sleeping world, because both worlds are the world. And so it doesn't matter whether you're awake or asleep. You're still in the world, and you're going to access things when you're asleep that you wouldn't consciously think about accessing when you're awake. So it's two worlds.
Well, I wonder if not the practices that seem to induce trance are about creating bridges between the two, or somehow like that.
Yes, you bridge the distance. I'll tell a little story, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
When the technology was developed here, and this is published statistics, they found that Europeans were more right-brained in their thought processes and how they proceeded with their day, and Indians who lived here in North America were more left-brained. This is where the term half-wit comes in.
Okay.
So, the right side of the brain, we know is a valid part of the brain or it wouldn't exist. That's your problem-solving analysis looking at things objectively, it provides the nuts and bolts for something that you're paying attention to. The left side of the brain is the spiritual side, the knowing side, the realizing side. Then when you put both of them together, both hemispheres of the brain, you know on the left side of your brain, and the right side of the brain provides the nuts and bolts on how you know to begin with.
I like to think of that as like grounding.
Grounding is a way to look at it. That's why a lot of people will say science and spirituality are two halves of the same whole. Left brain and right brain is two halves of the same brain.
Yep. And they're going to begin to function that way.
Oh, yeah, and they can't stop it.
Yep.
They can't stop it.
Nobody can stop it. Can't stop it.
So what's happening here on this planet at this time, and I've had lots of questions about this too, as to how this would come about. There's a lot of people, a lot of souls, I will say, that are not ready for this type of existence because they're enjoying, believe it or not, enjoying this type of existence that we are all walking away from,
mm-hmm.
happily, I might say, so that they can have it. They can have their own sandbox. They can go play in their own sandbox. They can tear each other's castles up, whatever they want to do.
Hmm. Yeah, I've had this feeling that that was really the way of it. And it's not even necessarily that we're leaving an environment where only rich people have a good time. Like, even rich people are wanting a shift as well.
Yeah, because they've got more headaches than they can shake a stick at right now.
By the way, I just posted a picture on Facebook, if you have me on Facebook, of my eyes in the process of changing color.
Uh-oh. Are you just now doing that for the first time, Bob?
Huh?
Are you just now doing that for the first time, changing eye colors?
Yeah, not like that. I've always had a ring of blue,
mm-hmm.
but not one that you could see. You'd have to get real close, and my complete eye, by the end of the trip, turned completely blue. Light blue on the outside, dark blue in the middle.
Dude, that's like movie Dune.
Yeah.
My ex-wife...
I'll post it in the chat, the link.
My ex-wife could always tell what kind of mood I was in because she noticed it from the time we got married, or actually before. When I'm in a calm, regular mood, my eyes are hazel color. When they would turn a deep blue, she'd tend to stay away from me. And then when they would turn green, then she knew that we were about to have fun. So my eyes changed color.
She was totally fine with that type of thing.
Just mentioning Julian, mm-hmm. someone's just raised their hand. I don't know if they have a question for Thomas or if we want to save that for later.
We could do questions. I think it's a good time to start, perhaps.
Okay, caller, area code 205.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
No. I can hear you. Who are we speaking with?
No, we can't hear you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I've been following you guys.
Can we have your name?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Jennifer, and I'm calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
Excellent.
Hello, Jennifer from Birmingham.
Hey, y'all.
I love the y'all.
Yeah.
I have to say, first of all, that the main reason I'm calling is on an impulse based on something that Thomas just said about the tunnels under Romania.
You know something about them?
Well, I know what I know from having read the four-book series, Transylvania series. Mm. Is this what you're talking about, Thomas?
Yes, I've had Peter Moon on my show before when I used to do a show.
Awesome. Okay, well, I just communicated with Peter Moon this past week based on some synchronicities that have occurred for me, having followed AK, American Kabuki, since he began. And so I know about everybody else through that way because I followed him until he spread his branches, and I now know all you. So having that as a background, I have been following Peter Moon's story, which is he's the editor and the publisher of the American version of a Romanian story that is true, that is happening as we speak. Concerning technology, involving our biology and how it works with Mother Earth in ways that you guys always are talking about, but having found a chamber, if you will, that was created, and they don't know by who, and they don't know exactly when, and there's a lot that they're not talking about, but it's there. Suffice to say that the Pentagon found it by ground-penetrating radar in 2003, apparently, the story goes, and made a subsequent deal with the Romanian government. If you look at records, apparently they became part of NATO right around that same time. And what is there is a holographic room that is cut into the side of this granite mountain in what is known as Transylvania, ancient Transylvania. And they don't, when they found it, they didn't know how it was made. They had to actually use their boring technology that melts away the granite, the way they create these like tunnels, and I would imagine like Colorado and wherever they, Denver, to get into the chamber that they found with the ground-penetrating radar because they could find no entrance. And so apparently this happened in 2003. Anyway, all this to say, a race of blue beings and the Taurigs, and the article from G.W. Hardin last week have all come to a head in a way that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And blue is the only color I can see anymore. And maybe you know what I'm talking about. I have a feeling that somehow you do.
Well, it'll be very interesting when they find the tunnel system that goes from the Sphinx under Romania to the pyramid in Bosnia.
And by the way, Jennifer, the new energy that is pumping through right now generally has been perceived as the color blue.
Well, it's always been my favorite color. I remember as a child, there was someone in my neighborhood who had a blue Camaro, you know, like a, I don't know, 79 or something. And it was this color blue, cerulean, and I used to go up to it and put my hands, scoop my hands around my eyes and just stare at it. You guys? I'm so happy to know you in the world.
Well, likewise.
Thank you, yeah.
Keep doing what you be and be what you do, because it's really working.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer.
Absolutely. That's really all I wanted to add, was to let you guys know that this is in the mix. Actually, I wrote a letter to Brian. Let me tell you this. It's really quick. It's in relation to, I wrote him this morning for the first time. I've never written any of you guys. And I sent him a message with the first page of the book by Peter Moon called Montauk Book of the Living, because it's all related back to the Montauk Indians. The Montauk Pharaohs, actually, who subsequently are said to be Egyptian pharaohs. So, all the synchronicities with Montauk and Mobile, Alabama, and all of it, it's just a lot. But, oh my goodness, I lost my train of thought. But it's really complicated. And thank you guys for doing what you're doing and knowing what you know, and helping everybody to wake up.
I'm sure that reading his books, you heard him or read his dialogue with R.D. Red Medicine Crippen.
Yes. Oh, and one other amazing synchronicity that applies to that, R.D. Crippen, is that I just so happened, through synchronicity, to have in my life a 32nd generation Shaolin temple monk training me every day in Tai Chi. Just because he so happens
Whoa.
To be the son-in-law of my best friend.
Okay.
Just because of coincidence.
Okay,
so
well,
every day
I've had...
I'm doing Tai Chi.
If you put Artie Crippen's name in Blog Talk Radio, you'll find the shows that I did with him back in late 2010, early 2011. And
I
have Artie Crippen.
I will listen.
And I have Artie, also have Artie Crippen's phone number, and him and I talk occasionally. And the Montauk Indians, the Montauk Indians always knew about the underground tunnel network that is underneath Long Island, New York. And the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, never wanted to give that land back to the Montauk Indians. That's why they declared the Montauk Indians extinct, even though there's quite a few Montauk Indians still living in New York City.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating edition of our history that really makes a lot of sense to me. And I just wanted to be able to put it out there for everybody and share it, because I haven't really heard anybody put that part of the thread in. And when you guys went into the desert with Heather and you were going to see Men in Blue, that's when I actually was reading this part in the Peter Moon book. I mean, coincidentally, I hadn't even read it to that point. I read the Transylvania stuff first, and then I came to that book, which was a prequel. And I was reading about the Tuaregs while you guys were in the desert. And I went, oh, my God. Okay. And so I started looking at pictures of Tuaregs. And what I'd like for you to do now is, if you can just go to Google, who cares right now, and just type in Tuaregs and go images. And you'll, if you scroll a minute, you'll find some jewelry. You'll just find an image of some jewelry laying out, like on a, you know, blackboard, like it's on display. And if you guys can find it, I'm not sitting at my computer, I'm sorry, I'm not walking around, or I could send it to you right away. I'm sort of not being able to do all that since I'm talking to you. But if you look at it, you'll notice that it looks hauntingly like the DNA tesseract antenna, fractal antenna, that D.W. Harden shows in his article. It's Tuareg jewelry, silver jewelry, now, and it looks just like it.
You said the word tesseract. Did you get that from Marvel C Adventures? Or?
No. I got that from D.W. Harden. I don't know any of the other places that it would come from until I started to look at it after I found it from him.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, thank you for sharing, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for sharing. Absolutely. And keep on sharing, and I will let you guys back to it.
Okay.
Synchronicity is definitely making things known.
We've got area code 208. Your mic is open. Area code 208. Are you there?
Oh, I hear the show playing.
I can hear the show playing in the background. Area code 208.
Hello.
I think someone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay,
who do we
I'm
have?
Here. Oh, what do you mean? I'm on the internet. It's delayed here. Yeah, I was just curious. About
did you turn
what,
down
what,
mute the
yeah,
radio?
Yeah, just a second. Yeah, how's that? Yeah, I was just curious about what Julian said about. Didn't you say you'd never seen any chemtrails?
I saw one, but I didn't. It's almost like I know what they are, and I've seen them in my, you know, I know what they look like. But around my house over the last year or I don't know, not year. I want to say I don't ever remember seeing these or them taking notice or me taking notice because they're pretty specific. They're very, very liney, you know? And nowhere that I've lived in Seattle have I seen them. Now, I'm betting there's lots of people in Seattle I've seen them, but I don't seem to be able to see them. So,
I was curious about where you live, because I'm in northern Idaho. I'm only about, what, 6 hours from you, in Post Falls.
Mm-hmm. Here, well, I know several people who say they see them in Seattle. That's the other thing.
Well, I'm just curious if they're more concentrated in some areas, because I can go outside almost any clear day, you know, and I can see them. Sometimes I've seen the whole sky just crisscross with like 10, 15 of them.
I know, and it's so incredible, the pictures I see online.
Well, yeah, you said you've seen them online. Yeah, right, and I was just curious about where you lived, and like I say, if they were more common in some areas more so than others, you know, because... In fact, when you said that, I went outside, and there's two or three of them out there, you know, right here in the sky right now, above Coeur d'Alene. So, anyway,
I don't see any right now.
Oh.
But it's a little bit over.
Pretty nice day, though. And also, I just wanted to say I was really enjoyed listening to what Bob had to say about his experiences and some of the insights that he had, and I was... pretty inspiring for me. I hope other people enjoyed them as much as I did or saw importance of them. The idea of it's all in your head, the whole world, you created it, you know, and the idea of taking responsibility for your life. And it's very interesting for me. I've had similar experiences in my life, similar insights, and he kind of re-inspired me to... look into that within myself more. So I didn't really have a lot to say. I just wanted to show gratitude to Bob for what he had to say and say that it really inspired me, and I hope it inspired others too.
It's inspired me. Yeah, thank you, Bob. Clearly, we're living vicariously through your experiences.
But everybody at some point has experienced what I've experienced at some level. You now just draw focus to it, because everybody can call back on that experience that they've had and bring it into focus with new understanding now and have some fun.
You know, you get... I had a lot of the way you were talking, the things you were saying reminded me of similar experiences I had 30 years ago. And since then, I've been a seeker. I always wondered what happened to me. You know, why didn't I stay in that mindset? And I've come to realize it's I got reconditioned. And I was going to caution you. You're pretty high from, you know, your experiences right now, but be careful. You can go right back to your old mindset. I know that from my own experience. And but a lot of the problem, I think, too, is I didn't surround myself with like-minded people, and that's where you do have an advantage there. I was thrown back.
Yeah, we have the internet.
I went on a retreat, see, you know, all the way to Kansas City, Missouri, and I came back into an environment that was, you know, there's no like-minded people around. And I got reconditioned, you know, thrown back into fear and all that kind of thing. So, like I say...
Well, I know the feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all I had to say. I'll let you get back to some of the callers. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing.
You
definitely appreciated.
Okay, bye.
No problem. Okay, that's it for the calls. I don't see anybody else with their hand up. If you do have a question, hit number one. That'll flag me. Otherwise, I guess everybody else is just listening. So.
Well, it is the reconditioning element. Let's talk about that. We're living in an environment that was designed to limit us, I feel. And as we are breaking free from the shackles and from the restraints and limiting thoughts and understandings, you know, there's certainly a design that's also in place to return us to a place where, you know, we're back into this sort of captivity state. And, you know, it's basically the resistance against those who are waking up, you know, calling us crazy or delusional or, you know, a cult or whatever. There's all these different mechanisms that exist as well to make sure we don't wake up and stay awake, you know? And I think that really sucks, personally, that there's an establishment that is set up so that it seems like that we don't belong here if we can understand things that are at a broader perspective and experience things more broadly. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that in these days and times, especially with the expansion of communication, we're not so isolated anymore. We actually can gain some grounding and confidence in hearing each other's experiences. You know, it's like before the internet, the UFO phenomenon did not have a leg to stand on because everyone thought they were the only one that would, you know, have an experience and no one else would believe them. But now it's not too hard to find many people who are right on the same line in terms of the types of experiences, and you can share them. So this awakening thing and the momentum that you guys mentioned is, you know, it's happening and there's nothing stopping us. You know, basically that's why, because we now are able to commingle a bit more, even though we seem to be, you know, separated by physical distances.
You know, whenever you say something out loud on a show like this, or just to a friend, that enters the consciousness stream that goes around this planet. We'll just go ahead and limit it to that, because anything more than that might upset the apple cart. So we'll say the consciousness stream around the planet.
Okay.
And the citizens' hearing that occurred last month was a really big blow to the powers that were, because all of a sudden you have 50 witnesses, ex-military, ex-CIA, ex-NSA.
Ex-government, yeah.
Yeah, all coming forward and relating their experiences, not only with testimony, but with documentation. The opening witness, well, I can't remember his name offhand, but you can find it on YouTube, was a man who worked 15 years for the Air Force, and he was in charge of a nuclear missile silo in Montana. And he detailed and gave the documentation and showed the evidence of how nuclear missiles were shut down at his facility in Montana three different times by off-world spacecraft, you know, craft that were not from this world, where they were just simply shut down.
Yeah, so, I remember hearing that. Now, obviously, that's a national security issue when it comes to sharing that information.
Yeah, but they're not, nothing's stopping him now.
Right. Like, how did he get away with that? Exposure by the many. If the collective enacts its will, those who see their place in that puzzle will be able to act in unity and will have immunity to prior systems that were all about dismantling unity. So that's the value of collective, right?
Yes. And if people just put citizen hearing in YouTube, if they haven't heard of it or have not seen it or anything, there is 2.5-hour long videos with the highlights of the 5 days of testimony in front of former members of Congress, representatives and senators. So I encourage everyone to go and listen to that, because it's well worth it.
I highly recommend it as well. You can find a YouTube channel as well where they have a playlist of highlights so that you can, you know, pick and choose, you know, different highlights if you wish, and you don't have a, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever. But, yeah, I've been referring that to people on my friends list for a little while now. And there is stuff taking shape that has come from that on the planet with regards to people getting together and doing things. You can find that sort of info. I'm not that close with the details, but, you know, if you're drawn to that, I know some people are drawn to listening to me because of my connection that I share with the Pleiadians. Well, there's a lot of terrestrial sources for expanding your interest in those fields.
I want to, you know, I have someone in Sasquatchery that said something to me a couple of weeks ago. She lives up there just south of you in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Thomas, you know what's funny?" I said, "There's a lot of things that are funny, but go on." And she said, "Well, you know, you hear all these Christians talking about rapture." I said, "Well, I don't usually talk to Christians, but go on."
Hmm.
She goes, "You know, with everything that's going on and everything that's happening on the planet, they're the most likely group of people to miss it." I said, "Do you think? Really?" I didn't want to say that, but she just blurted it out, and I was like, oh.
Shoot, huh?
Well, you know, it's not really rapture is a story they concocted within the, I don't even know if that's in the Bible. It's something separate from the Bible. But,
well, it's certainly been used in reference to terms in Christianity. But
well,
the
yeah.
Bible specifically,
I don't
know.
The Bible references a point where we would all be lifted up, and we would be, that which is mortal will be changed to immortal, and that which is corruptible must put on incorruptibility. Yeah.
Well, that sounds excellent.
It's in there.
That's why I've said since 2010, you know, it all comes down to choice. And those who choose to continue with this type of existence, they get to go play in another sandbox, because this sandbox is for those people who are tired of having their sandcastles torn up by the arrogant children all the time, you know? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
The Indians over here, we've always called it the shift. The Mayans called it the shift of ages. And so that's what I call it, the shift, because we're shifting out of this reality, basically, is a way to look at it. And we're not going to...
The shift is about to hit the fan.
Thanks very much. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, God, I got another great quote to work from that.
Actually, I'm sure that's someone else's quote. I heard it somewhere.
Okay. But it's awesome.
So my communication with people has increased because I've had more people who've been friending me on Facebook and friend questing me on Skype as well. And they're having their own Sasquatch experiences, and sometimes I'm able to communicate with those Sasquatch that are around them, and sometimes it's kind of spotty because the Sasquatch is not necessarily wanting to communicate, so I leave it alone, I leave it at that. I'm like, well, this is a personal communication for you. I'm just, at this point, I'm just serving to let you know that you're not imagining this, you're on target, go forward and have your own experiences, because it really is happening.
Yeah.
Okay, we're down to our last few seconds, so we're going to say our last words. What I would have to say is, everybody, enjoy your journey. Take one. Have an adventure.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are being called to that right now. It's inherently pulling at them. And for me, at least, I'll be at Mount Shasta during the 21st. I don't know who else in the neighborhood wants to come down and hang out with me then. I think it's a pretty well... documented event, so it shouldn't be hard to find.
And all I would say is, no matter what happens to you, don't quit being who you are. Be yourself. Mm.
Indeed.
We'll be seeing you next week. Same place, same time.